Good evening, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervey, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervey and Wynn. And today, I usually say that I'm here to manage your life, but Lauren Savon, I am here as a very angry, upset person who hates the world.
Oh, I could tell the second you walked in.
I haven't been able to even function today.
Breathing fire.
Because I am so pissed off. I'm just really upset.
Tell us why.
Not yet.
Okay.
But
I'll let you cool off for a minute.
I will not cool off because it's the state of the world. It's the condition of the human being that has pissed me off. And I am really, really, I have to calm down. Later in the show, though, it will get a lot more lively and happy because we have former Dodger James Loney on the show. Mm-hmm. And James Loney and I actually coach a Little League team together. And he's agreed to come on the show, talk a little bit about what's going on in Major League Baseball and his new career as a player agent for Vayner Baseball. But also, he will have some insight, I think, into what I want to talk about.
I can't wait to ask him what about your coaching style.
Yeah, maybe we won't talk about that.
What?
Let me say this, Lauren. And by the way, it's nice to see you in person because last week.
That's right.
We were separated. I was at the baseball field. I was coaching. Yeah. And I will tell you something. And by the way, if you want to call in 800-222-5222, you can talk to Lauren Savon. She has a lot to say and she probably has a lot of comments. Oh, look, I'm getting a call from the coach of the other baseball team that my son beat last week. So
your son is on so many baseball teams. Yeah. I cannot keep up. I don't know how you keep up.
Okay, forget about him for now. He's got the championship coming up. He's going to start pitching for the Dodgers against the White Sox. He's the starting pitcher for the championship game, 8 years old in a 10U, 10 and under league. Forget about that. Did you see what we advertised this week for this show? Why so many people are tuning in tonight?
Yes, I did.
You tell me.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Legendary
NBA.
The legendary biggest jerk who ever walked the face of the earth.
Fighting words.
He is biggest, meaning tallest. And I want to tell you that this jerk who thinks he's so important and so great can cancel on us at the last minute yesterday without a reason, no reason whatsoever. He just cancels and he doesn't care. But yet, he can go around and parade about social justice and about coming out with some stupid show that
new
I'm not even going to plug. What is it, a documentary? Who cares what it is?
Who cares?
I did lot of research because he doesn't care about my week or about other people. He doesn't care at all that I had a trial today. I had two appeals that had to be filed, one today and one tomorrow. And I had to take my kid to baseball and hockey this week. And at the same time, prepare this show, which I do during the middle of the night and Tuesday night, preparing the show for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar so I could talk intelligently about his social justice advocacy and about this award that they're giving out in the NBA with his name on it.
And all he had to do was make a phone call.
That's it. Just make a phone call.
We don't ask too much of guests.
But why do I think that this guy is an arrogant jerk? Which is really disheartening because he did the same thing to us last year. Lauren, you want to hear about what happened last year? Last year, he booked the show or his publicist booked the show. And then all of a sudden, he said he wasn't going to come on the show unless we paid him. In 7.5 years, we've never paid a guest ever.
He wanted to get paid?
He wanted to get paid. And we've had many big people,
huge names.
Lawyers, big names,
sports legends,
attorney legends,
entertainment,
politicians, entertainers.
Movies.
Cindy Crawford didn't want to get paid. She just wanted to talk about her message about with Robert Kennedy Jr. She was on the show to talk about the environment. You know, all of these people, Alan Dershowitz, who's on the show all the time, doesn't ask to get paid. No one wants to get paid.
Except Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Well,
so does he need the money?
Well,
is
apparently
he on
he
hard
does.
Times.
So
now?
Here's what happens. This was around the Black Lives Matter protests, and we said we will give $1,500 to Black Lives Matter, to the BLM.
Oh,
and
great. So you're doing it for
he
a good
said,
cause.
No, $3,000. It has to be $3,000 for him to come on. So we said, okay, we'll give $3,000 to Black Lives Matter.
What a show, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And then guess what he does?
Cancels.
No, not yet.
Oh.
He says, no, don't give it to Black Lives Matters. Do not give it to Black Lives Matters. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar says, don't give the money to Black Lives Matter.
Why?
Give it to me.
What?
Give it to some hook shot, sky hook shot, or whatever the heck his cause is that's on his website. So, you know, you can give your credit card.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
You are going to go and give it to the cause that he champions, by the way.
He does? Well, it's
in
fake.
His documentary.
Everything about him is fake. Okay, go ahead.
And so, Lauren, he said to you, no, don't give it to the movement. Just pay me directly,
well,
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
To his website. Give the money
give
to his
website. Give it to
my website.
No.
So we say, okay, K-A-J, Kaj, Lou Alcindor.
Lou Alcindor. Let's call him by his real name.
Yeah, real name. Let's show him for who he is. So we say, we'll pay it. We won't give it to Black Lives Matter if you don't want us to. We'll give it to your website. So they say, okay. We strike the deal, and then he cancels just before we're supposed to do the show last year.
I hope the check did not clear.
They offered to pay the money back.
I mean, that's ridiculous. He got everything he wanted and he still canceled?
Then he cancels. No reason given. So today, he's supposed to come on, and Genevieve Wong, who does an amazing job producing the show, getting our guests, she makes sure, I trust her more than anyone in the world because she is a good person, and she makes sure, given the history from last year, that she confirms with the Kareem people.
Sure.
And she confirms with the publicist last week. Yes, he's doing the show. Yes, he's doing the show.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, all he has to do is get on the phone.
That's it. And talk about
his project.
He doesn't
have to get in a car. He doesn't have to do anything.
And I did all this
research. He gets on the phone
research
and promotes his own project.
To promote his own project. And he was on, he's tweeting about being on the Today Show or whatever yesterday. What a great thing.
Oh, he's done a bunch of interviews.
Yeah, he's doing all these interviews for the show and he's tweeting about it. But we're not good enough. And, you know, it sounds like sour grapes for me, but it isn't. Because I'll tell you something, Lauren. We need to teach people to honor commitments. Honor your commitment.
This whole documentary that he's doing is about his social activism throughout the years. I mean, he's kind of inserted himself in all of the social justice, social, you know, action movements and saying, like, look, I have this role that I've been playing over the years as an NBA player,
right,
as a
right.
national figure. Where, you know, I want people to take responsibility for the way we've been treated.
Right.
Well, look how you treat other people.
Exactly. Social justice king, we'll call him. The tall king of social justice. I'll tell you who's social justice king. Look at me. 27 years, I've been representing the little guy. I don't care what color they are, mm-hmm. what their name is, where they're from, what language they speak. I am going to represent them in court to get them what they are entitled to. They can't speak for themselves. I'm going to speak for the little guy. That's what social justice is, because I spend my day in the trenches.
That's right.
I don't go on a show. I don't talk about it much, what I do, about how I help people, how I'll go to the end of the appeals that I filed. I spent all night. I stayed up two nights in a row because I had already prepared to talk to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Spend up two nights for two of my clients to make sure that they get justice. That's what fighting for justice is about, not just talking about it.
And asking for checks and not keeping your word. I mean, look, I have to say, we all have emergencies or, you know, for one
right.
reason or another,
exactly.
we have to cancel. But this is time and time again and no explanation for it. Like, couldn't even be polite enough to give you an explanation.
Even lie. Lauren,
just lie.
Lie to me. Tell
Absolutely
him he has an emergency
lie.
Or tell him something came up. You know, he can't do it. Just lie. Don't just
but
pretend
don't.
We're nothing. If I teach my kids anything in this world, it's going to be to have good values.
Keep your word. If you tell someone you're going
to
be there, you're going to do it,
be there on time, keep your word, be the good person. And I want to tell you something, everyone who's listening, someone, whether you like her or not, I want to tell you the story of Gloria Allred. Gloria Allred, whether you like her or you don't, this is Gloria Allred. We used to do the show on Sunday at 5:00. She booked to come on the show. That Sunday at 5 o'clock in the parking lot here at KBC, I see her walking through the parking lot with a little suitcase, just like I saw you walking 2 weeks ago yeah. with that little suitcase going to Nicaragua.
It's convenient. We're near the airport.
I say to Gloria, why do you have the suitcase? She comes from an Uber, by the way, just like you do when you go to the airport.
I take all
she says, Alan, I found out 2 days ago that I have to be in New York to be at court for the Harvey Weinstein hearing and on Monday. And then Tuesday, I have to be at the Jeffrey Epstein hearing.
Wow. And big week.
Yeah, it's a big week, Monday and Tuesday. I said to her, well, Gloria, why didn't you go this morning? You're taking a red eye wow. to go to court for Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein and any other Steen that needs your help.
Another Jew at court.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And why are you doing this? She said, Alan, I'm taking the red eye. I'm going to get off the plane. I'm going to go right to court to the Harvey Weinstein hearing because I gave you my word that I would be on your show on Sunday at 5 o'clock.
You see that? Do you see that?
She could have gone anytime during
Absolutely.
The day and just called up and said, you know what, I can't make it. Emergency came up that I have to fly to
And
New
you
York.
Would understand if
I
you saw
understand.
Her on TV the next day talking about Weinstein, but she kept her word. I mean, it means so much to keep your word, especially in this business where people are flaky, you know?
You know that better than I do because
oh, yeah.
you're in the business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I'm just looking from afar and I'm saying, kids, the kids of today, learn to be disciplined, be on time, and keep your word. That's going to make this world a better place. Forget about making social justice films and TV
yeah.
and going and talking about yeah. how great you are and how you care about all these people while you sit in the ivory tower with all this money, LeBron James and others. Think about everyone else in this world and act like a real mensch. You know what that means?
Yeah. Put your money where your mouth is.
Be a good person.
You
Hudson
claim to
and
love
Harper,
other people.
If you ever listen to me, be that person who keeps his and her word, and that's going to make this world a much better place. I still have more to talk about on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and then we're going to calm down and talk to James Loney, who is a good guy, who is a really fine human being. That's what we need, more James Loneys in this world
That's
and
right.
more Gloria Allreds in the world and more of all of our guests who have kept their word and been on the show. We had Dan Abrams on, the legal journalist a couple weeks ago, spent long time with us.
Great guy.
So many people keep their word, and then you get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the legend, the legendary jerk.
The legendary disappointment.
And he's not welcome on the show ever again.
You
800-222-5222, 800-222-5222. If you know how big a jerk Kareem is, call us right now. You're listening to Gurvey's Law right here on Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Wayman tells me I'm not going to hear it, so I got to say it. We're talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, biggest liar who ever walked the face of the earth. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. For those of you who are tuning in to listen to the eloquent social justice king, he stood us up, not giving an excuse, just lie to us.
It's fine if he stood you up, but me.
And yeah, if he saw you and how you're looking today,
you
made yourself look beautiful. You always look beautiful.
I'm maskless now.
You're maskless.
Beautiful.
And look at what
My
you're wearing.
What
the heck are you wearing? All that lace. Pretty in lace.
What a waste of an outfit.
I know. He would have enjoyed it, the 75-year-old old geezer. Would have liked seeing that lace. And you can almost see through it. Can I see through it, or what is that? Is that a...
No, it's an optical illusion.
Is there something underneath?
There's something underneath.
Well, very nice. Kareem,
welcome.
You're missing, Alan. You're missing it.
It's for you now, Alan.
It's not
just
for me.
Feast your eyes.
It's definitely not for me. So if you're just joining us and you wanted to hear Kareem Abdul-Jabbar talking about social justice and talking about change and changing his name and naming his kids all kinds of different names. He stood us up. He doesn't care. He doesn't think about other people. Not at all. He would not even consider what this action that he takes, that he just blows us off, does to other people. People wanted to hear him. People wanted to listen. I had to go through a trial today, which wasn't easy, and still come here You know, not that I wouldn't have come for you, Lauren, but anyway.
You come here because the show's got your name in it. You have a responsibility to the listeners.
I do have a responsibility to the listeners, and all I care about in this world is being a good person. My undergraduate degree is in moral philosophy, ethics and morals, and how hard is it?
How many lawyers can say that, by the way? That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I know when I did the valedictorian address at Brown University and I was in this moral philosophy specialty, I talked about how we would carry on to, you know, use what we learned in undergraduate school in our lives as we move forward. And then I said, well, I'm becoming a lawyer, so I guess that probably just went down the tubes.
By the wayside.
Yeah, that won't work. So, but anyway, even a lawyer can be a very, very ethical and moral person.
Sure.
It's not as easy.
It's not as easy to make as much money, but yeah.
But you know what? It's not about the money.
Not
Kareem,
for you.
It's not about the money. Charging us $3,000.
It sounds like it's about the money for him.
I don't know what it's about, but I'll tell you something that, you know, I just wish more people would take it seriously. And you've been in this business
sure.
a long time.
Yeah.
Is everyone just a jerk into themselves and don't care about how
no.
their actions mm-hmm. affect others? That's the key. How do your actions affect other people?
Well, I mean, we can see it now, you know, people who don't want to get vaccinated for whatever reason or people angry about all the things going on, you know, because they don't care whether or not it helps someone else.
So that's a good point you bring up because, you know, Carrie Kasem, who's done the show with me for many years, is not a fan of vaccination.
Right.
And I don't know how to consider that. If someone doesn't get vaccinated, do we give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they have a moral ground or a medical ground, or are they just not being considerate to themselves and to others?
I mean, it's fine if you don't want to get vaccinated, but then don't, you know, show up places and not wear them. I think, you know, they just want life to go back to normal, not have to get vaccinated and hope everybody else gets vaccinated so they don't.
Is that what it is?
I mean, I don't know. I got the vax as soon as I could. I was like first online because I want everything to go back to normal. I want life to get back to the way it was. And some people, I'm sure, have medical reasons why. Or
I just want to respect people.
I just want to respect people. So, I mean, if it comes down to not getting the vaccines because it might protect someone else, then I'll do it. Fine.
You know...
And if it comes down to me keeping my word, even though it's wildly inconvenient, like Gloria Allred having to take a red eye for a massive day she had the next day, I mean, that's someone who values
Lauren,
commitment.
You just hit on the key to success. You know what the key to success is? Doing the things that you don't want to do.
Yep.
Doing the things that you don't want to do. Gloria Allred, I'm sure, and she made me feel worse, but she didn't mean to. She said, I can't sleep on a plane either. So, you know, I felt terrible. Because
actually seen her on a plane. She's working the entire time.
Yeah. Well,
she's got like huge files on her, and she works the entire time on the plane.
Right.
And it made me feel like a lazy, you know what, having cocktails and watching movies.
Well, there's a place for that too. But you do the things that you don't want to do. If you want to go to a party, like my daughter didn't want to go to a birthday party. Because she didn't really know who the kid was. And we said, you know, you should go. You were invited. It was very nice of her to invite her. She went and, of course, she had a good time.
Sure.
So you do the things that you don't want to do because that's building character. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has none. That is learning respect to others. That's going to come back and help you in life. If you respect others, it's going to help you.
And I'm sure in your line of work, you've had to take the cases that you don't want to take.
Absolutely.
You've had to, you know.
I have to talk to people all day long that I don't want to talk to.
I mean, that sounds like my own personal nightmare, but you do it because that's what you do, and you do care about other people.
You know, you have to get off your high horse, and there's too many people in this town.
On high horses.
And with Kareem, it's really high.
That's right.
And, you know, there's just so many people who... just think they're it. They don't think of how their actions affect others.
I will tell you this. Usually the people that blow off, you know, interviews or don't hold their commitments, they're not the mega stars. They're not the biggest, hugest A-list people. They're like, you know, the second, third tier people. that are still wildly insecure and still just looking to field the best offer. And they're like, oh, I'm not going to do that, you know, local morning show because I want to do something else. And you can tell that's why they're only going to get to a certain level. And the A-listers got where they are because they said yes to everything at one point, you know, and they keep their commitments.
That may be true, but I think it's not only about being an A-lister or being super successful. It's about being a good person. What is wrong with it? Why does everyone have to fight? Why does everyone have to have these crazy politics one way or the other and have to, you know, inflict all of their anger on others? Why can't people just accept other people for who they are, for what they believe in, and leave it alone? Why can't people just respect commitment? Why can't they just be decent? Think of others.
I mean, I'm sure Kareem Abdul-Jabbar would agree with everything you're saying because that's what he supposedly stands for. That's what his documentary is about creating change to make, you know, everything equal for everyone else and to take care of people. But it's phony because when you come down to it, you can talk a good game. But where's the action?
Exactly. Bunch of phonies. You know, you do it just so you look good in other people's eyes. You don't act to look good in other people's eyes. You act because it's the right thing to do. You have respect for other people. And I sound like a Pollyanna, like in Canada, we used to call them sucks. I'm a big suck. I don't know if they use that term here.
No, I've never heard that. Is that a Canadian thing?
Yeah, and then if you're a real big suck, you're a super suck. So... You know, it's a Canadian thing. Well, when I was growing up, and it means like you're a good citizen, you're doing the right thing. And I think you should be proud of that. You don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to be that person who, you know, is so cool that you don't have to follow through with what you say. Why not just be a good person, be that suck? I'm proud to be a suck, and I'm proud that my kids are sucks.
I don't know. Maybe it's my American sensibilities. It's hilarious to me.
It's not funny, Lauren.
I'm sorry.
I'm not being funny.
No.
And I don't appreciate you laughing at my sucky kids. I mean.
No, you should be proud.
They wear, you know, they wore their masks every day. It didn't matter.
I saw your 8-year-old playing baseball in the heat with a black mask on. God bless.
And guess how many other kids were wearing masks when you saw him? Because I showed him pitching with his mask on.
Yeah.
None. He was the only one. And my daughter always wearing a mask. And you know what they say to me? What's the big deal? So what? Someday we'll be able to take them off.
Wow.
And, you know, right now, because they're under 12, they're not vaccinated.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a little concerned because we've got tickets. The four of us are going to Green Day, which will be September 3rd at Dodger Stadium.
Do your kids know who Green Day is?
Oh, yeah. They're huge fans. We
That's
listen to
rad.
Them. Yeah, they know all the curse words that come through Green Day songs and everything like that.
Great
we teach
parenting.
Them well. Yeah, but you know the fact of the matter is they will wear their masks and they will not complain because they understand, it might be an inconvenience, but we've made a deal. And the deal is until we can safely take them off, and people argue that they safely can take them off. We're going to do the things that are not that easy and that comfortable because later on in life, it's really going to benefit them.
Yeah, absolutely. Good
they
for
will
them.
Do their schoolwork. They got great report cards because they're sucks. And I'm proud my kids are sucks. And they may not always be sucks.
No. Sometimes they grow out of that.
They do. And their friends' influence. Mm. But you know what? Whatever happens, happens. I will always love them because I know their heart is always going to be in the right place. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's heart is not in the right place. I don't even know if he has
Does he
a heart.
Does he have one? I don't know.
No.
Can we get confirmation?
He has no heart. You know? Anyway, if he had any balls, he would, you know, make it good. But
missing
a
lot of things.
He won't. All right. Well, we need to... Lauren, you need to relax. I don't appreciate you coming in here.
I know, I'm sorry.
And being so angry and getting so upset.
You've got my dander up.
Yeah. You know what? Look at me. I'm just this calm, nice little suck. All right. We're going to talk to James Loney, former Dodger. After the break, you're listening to Gervie's Line. We're going to calm down right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Oh, yeah, liar. Hey, Lauren, I thought we weren't talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar anymore.
I thought we were going to put it all behind us.
We were, but then again, Wayman goes out and plays liar. The man who said he'd be on the show was not on the show. And if you missed the first half hour, you know that I need to calm down. Lauren?
It's time for you to switch to decaf. Take it down a notch.
All right.
Let's breathe.
You know, we are going to change gears. We're not angry anymore. We are going to bring on someone who is a wonderful human being, a fine person who commits to something, and here he is. He's on the air with us. He's not going to cancel like Kareem did after we had promoted him and after we had detrimentally relied upon his word. I got a little law in there for you, Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you like that, don't
you?
Yeah, detrimental reliance, which means I can sue Kareem, not for the $3,000 that he wanted to come on the show, but for more. But again, I digress. So James Loney, the fine human being who is with us, was in the major leagues for 11 seasons, about seven years
here in L.A.
In L.A., yeah, you remember him. He has a lifetime average of 284, 669 RBIs, 108 homers, and he really distinguished himself. He was picked number 19 overall in the draft by the Dodgers. You can't say that, Lauren, that you
unfortunately,
were...
No.
All right. And he had a stellar high school career. His coach was actually the father of Matt Carpenter, Rick Carpenter. And he was Powerade Gatorade Player of the Year at the end of his high school career. He's was voted as the Topps Major League Rookie All-Star Team in 2007 when he started. And, boy, he had 9 RBIs in one game. That is
Can you say that?
I can say I have never had 1 RBI in the major leagues, let alone 9. Gil Hodges. Do you even know who Gil Hodges is? I didn't think you did. A legendary Dodger. He tied his record. And now he is an agent with Vayner Baseball. And more importantly, he is the father of Jordan and Aiden, two superstar baseball players. James, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hey, Alan. What's going on?
Hey, good to have you. It sounds like you're driving back like from a baseball tournament or something.
I'm driving to a dinner.
Oh, you disappoint me after I said you were the great coach and always thinking of your kids. you're probably just going out with Nadia for dinner and having a nice time tonight.
Well, I was thinking of canceling on you now that maybe I can get a couple grand thrown my way.
You don't want to do that, James. I promise you.
Yeah, you might get some slashed tires or something.
You might get a half-hour tirade headed your way.
A half-hour tirade. You know, and you know Kareem Abdul-Jabbar because as a Dodger, I know he came into the dressing room or he saw you from time to time. And you said he was a good dude, right?
Yeah, he was great. You know, he was always, like, just cheering us on and supporting us and just, you know, just being there down in the dugout club. He always had good energy and, just a great fan.
Did he ever tell you that he was going to come to a game and then didn't show up?
Nah, I think you're the only guy who's done that too.
Oh.
Thank you.
Unique.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And that's great. All right, let's talk a little bit about baseball first, and then we'll get into what you're doing now. But when we look at this Dodger team, and I know last year through the playoff run, you were on with Jim Hill quite a bit and some of the other commentators talking about the Dodger run. How does it feel when you're seeing the Dodgers being so successful, yet you're just talking about them, not playing with them?
Yeah, I mean, I think a part of me still feels like, you know, I'm out there with those guys, you know, just wearing that uniform. There's just so much history, right? So I think I'm always going to feel like that. And I was happy for them, you know, being able to, you know, bring home a championship after, you know, such a quote-unquote long time in L.A., right?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like in L.A., I feel like every year it's like do or die. Right? You're like, you got to win a championship. The Lakers, you know, the Dodgers, like, so I always feel, you know, I always felt like it was a letdown when we didn't win. Definitely excited to see that last year.
But it must have been bittersweet with Tommy Lasorda passing away. I know that you had some special moments with him. Talk a little bit about your experiences with Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah. Tommy was awesome. You know, he was always in the locker room with us, chatting it up, trying to teach us how to hit, trying to tell us what to do from the, when we're on the on deck circle, he'd be sitting right there in the first row. He was always a great fan of ours and just trying to help us in any way he could.
Any ever push any Slim Fast on you?
No, he never did. I'm trying to think of. No, he was talking about his dinners, but nothing about the Slim Fast.
Okay.
I think he was past that point once I was in L.A.
Yeah, he outgrew that.
You know, he outgrew it. Yeah, he did. He did outgrow it. But, you know, James, you haven't seen James. He's in great shape.
I've seen James. I mean, not in person.
Yeah. So photos. I don't think he needs any of the Slim Fast.
No, you're doing fine, whatever it is.
Yeah, what is it?
I'm getting older now. I'm definitely starting to see things that weren't there 10 years ago.
Oh, just so wait till you hit 40. Then the wheels fall off.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, and we don't know if
you got a few good years left.
You may not be able to pitch batting practice after 40. You don't know, because I've seen him pitching batting practice, and sometimes he kind of falls off the mound or he tweaks his leg or his arm.
That's because you make a bad throw back to me. I have to reach for the ball.
That's it. I'm doing that on purpose.
I'm so glad you brought that up, James. Let's talk about Alan's coaching style. Do you guys come from different schools? Do you agree on most things? I mean, what's the difference between you two when it comes to coaching?
I think we agree on pretty much everything. I'm trying to think of something we've either disagreed on or I'm trying to think of something.
Not too much. There is one thing, and I got to tell everyone that, you know, someone who played in the major leagues for as long as James did and had such a successful career is a real humble guy, because I will remember when he first came to the practice with his son, Jordan, and Jordan went on the mound, and Jordan had this huge windup. He had him doing this full windup, not from the stretch, and it was it took him 10 minutes to throw one pitch. And I took James aside and I said, James, he's got to throw from the stretch. He's only... almost 8 years old. He's not even 8 years old. He needs to throw from the stretch. You can't give him all these mechanics for such a young kid. And James took it like the biggest professional. He was not arrogant about it. He didn't say, oh, what are you, little...
Yeah, he didn't play for the Dodgers.
Yeah, he didn't play for the... You don't know what you're talking about. Some lawyer BSing me?
Right?
No. He was like, oh, wow, let's try that. And he immediately took that advice. And now Jordan's like the star pitcher.
So you're taking credit for
his child's
success.
No, I'm giving James the credit for not being this arrogant, former pro athlete like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Go ahead, James.
That's best baseball advice I've ever gotten. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. Best baseball advice he's ever gotten.
It's true that, he has...
Well, actually, it did. It did help a lot, It just simplified it for Jordan. He didn't have to take that long step back and get balance, So when kids at that age, it's really hard for them to get balance. And so sometimes when they step back, obviously they're trying to get more power, but then they got to regroup. So I just said, I told them what Alan said, just pick up your leg and go.
But how is it that you're able to not, have any influences from your past and just focus on your kid and the other kids who you coach without feeling like you're, this superstar baseball player?
I don't know. I think baseball is not the biggest, thing in the world, right? Like, there's way more important jobs. I think we saw with COVID, with all the essential workers and everything going on. So I've never looked at something I've always loved to do. And then, we get put on a pedestal and, a lot of guys make a ton of money. So I think that's kind of where that, stereotype comes from. But I don't know. I'd be curious to know the stats. I actually think it's under 50% of guys that are arrogant and very cocky.
I would love if they kept stats like that.
Do you think that you gravitated?
I should have
I would be very interested in.
Yeah, I wouldn't. And in fact, we'll use you as a witness. This is a legal show, and you could be a witness. Did you gravitate to those kind of people, people who were like yourself, kind of humble, had other values, you know, teaching your kids the right way to live life? Did you gravitate to those guys when you played for the Dodgers or the Rays or the Red Sox or any of the other teams you had a cup of coffee with? Did you gravitate to them, or did you spend a lot of time with some guys that you really didn't like?
I would say more guys, you know, that I gravitated towards, like guys that were like me. I mean, obviously you're going to spend time with a lot of different types of people, but yeah, I would say more guys like myself. I think it's really easy to do that, especially as a hitter in baseball, because you're failing a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, if you hit 300 and you know, that's like Hall of Fame type numbers, you're still failing. You know, you're still getting out 70% of the time. Mm. And you know, you're not going to hit 300 every month. So it's kind of one of those things like, I mean, I guess unless you're like Trout, but it's kind of one of those. I think the game just kind of humbles yourself. Humbles you. And,
but it doesn't everyone, though. I mean, it humbles some people. We have to take a break, but just before we go on the break, why don't you just let us know, James, who was the biggest jerk you played with?
I won't say his name.
Give us a team.
Let's go after the break.
Why don't you think about it during the break? Right. Yeah,
We're going to take a quick break.
I'm sticking around for that.
Yeah, I'm sure Abdul.
I'll probably say the Dodgers.
All right. Okay, we're going to narrow it down and get some names after.
Not Justin Turner. All right.
No,
he's a buddy of yours. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with James Loney after this. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right, you got to run. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you better run. He didn't show up, you better run. But James Loney did, and Lauren, you were saying he's such a nice guy.
That's right. I mean, you sound nice. I don't know you that well. We've only been talking for a few minutes. But look, he's on his way to dinner. He made time for the show.
That's right.
What a hero.
What a hero.
The bar is so low right now,
it
James.
Is very low. You came on a great time. You get all the accolades. Never happened before in 7.5 years that someone stood us up, and you're there, right to pick up the pieces. Let me ask you, James, you know, we only have a few more minutes, but there's been a lot of talk this week about what's going on with the sticky stuff with the pitchers in baseball and changing the rules, so to speak, halfway through the season. You know, as a hitter and a former pitcher, because you were drafted as a pitcher and then became a hitter, do you agree with what's going on? And you're hearing all these pitchers making these excuses that now they can't throw the ball because the rules have changed. How do you see it from a hitter's perspective and a pitcher's perspective?
Yeah, it's a tough call. You know, I don't think I have all the information to give like my full opinion, but, you know, I understand from the pitcher's standpoint, like they're used to that, right? They're used to throwing, you know, with that kind of stuff on their fingers and, you know, especially in like cold climates, trying to get grips on balls, I could definitely see it, you know, being harder to control the ball. And, you know, you don't want anybody getting hit, obviously, you know, when balls are coming that fast. But, you know, from the other side, the hitter's point is like that sticky stuff can make the ball move in crazy directions. You know what I mean? Like the hitting is not getting any easier. These pitchers are throwing faster, they're getting stronger. Like every, you know, the game's evolving, I think, more towards the pitcher. So, I mean, if I had to choose, I would definitely say, you know, I'd definitely say I'm for, like, getting rid of this stuff. Maybe they could come up with something that doesn't make the ball move as much, but still give them, like, a grip on the ball.
Yeah, and I think maybe they should do it in the off season, not halfway through the season.
Yeah.
But
yeah, exactly. That's kind of,
Kind of cheap, like not showing up for a show. Hey, James.
Let it go.
Right? Thank
you.
Yeah. How do you? If I were one of your clients now, because we're going to talk a little about the Vayner Sports, Vayner Baseball. You're working for them. How would you calm me down? Like, isn't a lot that you do with athletes now having to kind of be a psychologist for them?
Yeah. I think in a way, you know, especially in baseball, it's such a long term, such a long season, right? So you go through slumps, you go through ups and downs. So that's why they say, you know, a lot of it's mental. I think, you know, having that preparation, you know, having that work ethic is what I use to help people. That's what I use to help myself. Like if I was going through something, you know, if Kareem didn't show up, then I'd just be like, calm down. I got somebody else coming up that's mm-hmm. even better, right? You know, so.
It's a great way to look at it, James.
Even better. That's right.
Great advice.
And, you know, you should take some of that advice when you're on the mound pitching and you're not allowed to speak and the ump comes and, you know, with the kids and starts cautioning you for telling the kids what to do. Anyway, Lauren's looking at me like, oh, what God. Are you talking about?
I understand what you're talking about.
Story.
Yeah. Let me ask you.
Yeah. I assume there is a story there.
There is. But we'll leave that for another time because I don't want to, you know, I don't like to put my guests down. That's the one thing. You know, if you're supposed to be a guest and you don't show up, then you get put down.
That's right.
But he, no, it was just enthusiasm for helping the kids. Let's put it that way. The positive spin. Speaking of a positive spin, Gary Vaynerchuk, the founder of VaynerMedia. Have you ever met the guy? I mean, the guy's got so much energy, he puts me to shame.
Yeah, we've talked on Zoom a few times in text and stuff like that.
What's that like?
Yeah, no, he's high energy. You know, I think what I love about Gary the most is, you know, he says this baseball division is his number one, you know, passion and you know, for everything that he's doing. I don't know if he's saying that to every department, but, you know, for us, he's saying baseball is his thing. Like, I just, like, if I had to pick one thing, it would be this baseball division and see it grow and, you know, he loves baseball cards. You know, he trades them, and he makes good money off that, too. So,
like he needs it, right?
That's right. I'm so glad he's getting a few extra bucks by collecting baseball
it's
cards.
It's like Kareem asking for $3,000. This guy.
What is going on Lauren, with these rich billionaires?
Yeah, how much money does Vaynerchuk have? You're looking it up right now.
Yeah.
Is he into Bitcoin?
Yeah, well, he's into everything. I mean, he needles around in so many different areas. He's, you know.
Yeah. He makes a couple. Yeah. Did you ever give him a baseball card for free, or did
160 million ish?
Okay,
100.
That's it.
Yeah, that's not well, right.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah.
Yeah,
you guess.
Yeah, you should charge him for your autograph. That would be good. He can afford it.
I should. He said I was on his fantasy team. So.
Oh really?
Oh wow, that's flattering.
Yeah.
Wow.
Him and his brother do it. I think it was either his team or his brother's.
That's pretty cool. That's cool. So what's going to happen now? We only have a couple minutes left. You know, you've got Jordan's playing some all-stars and Aiden's playing some all-stars. What are you going to do in the summer? Are you going to take a break from baseball and just enjoy life, or are you going to keep hammering it through?
Yeah, the all-stars should go. I mean, if we go all the way, I think it goes to, like, mid-July. So, I mean, we'll definitely try to plan a trip probably to, like, Hawaii or Mexico or something like that.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, definitely take a break. Yeah, definitely take a break and just
maybe
enjoy,
maybe do a little sax.
The water.
Saxophone.
A little what?
Saxophone. Maybe.
Do you play the saxophone?
Oh wow, you're digging in deep. You're digging deep in the archive now.
Are you?
You
sax
were asked, James. Player? You were asked a question by a very wonderful woman. I think you need to answer.
I can play.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a.
I can read the music.
Multi-talented.
Have you ever seen him like just pull out the sax?
He doesn't pull out the sax.
You don't ever do it after
not
dinner?
Not on the field.
Just give us a solo once in a while?
Not on the field.
No, no.
Yeah, I don't feel
it. Could be a morale booster.
I don't want to take too much attention.
You might want to think about
it. Too much attention.
Yeah, no, he's not that attention guy.
You know, James, I played the trombone in school, not to brag. So, I mean, we could get together and get like a jazz quartet or something.
Oh, I'm down. Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's down for that.
Yeah.
I can't play baseball, but...
Can you what? What was the question? James, what did you ask
her? Can you brag?
Can I brag?
With the trombone still? I don't know. With the trombone?
I mean, I don't...
I mean, I like the trombone.
It wasn't a sexy instrument, I'll be honest with you. It did not do much. It took me... It wasn't... it wasn't what all the hot girls were playing. I'll put it that way. It was bigger than me at the time.
But you made that commitment to it. That's the important
I committed
thing.
To it, I dragged that thing to school every day. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're gonna have to wind this up, James. But you know, I just have to thank you because without this interview that you're giving us now for free, by the way, everyone, it's for free.
It was out of the kindness of your heart.
Yeah, and without that, you know, we're just talking about how much of a jerk Kareem is. So it was nice.
Thanks for breaking it up a bit.
Yeah.
Thanks for calming Alan welcome. Down. And
you calm me down.
Yeah. Giving us a breather.
I have to calm Alan down. I have to calm him down all the time.
Yeah,
on the field.
Yeah. I'm a little more excitable than James is. He's like calm, cool, professional.
That's right.
All right. Well, anyway, thanks for taking a break during dinner, and we'll see you out on the field hopefully soon. And we'll give my best to the family, and we've got to close this out. Another edition of Gervie's Law, Lauren, has
this
come
will
to
go
an end.
Down in the books.
It'll go down in the books.
One, yeah.
Well, at least we had James Loney, so that was good.
I can't wait to see if Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's lawyers will be getting in touch with you.
I'm
for
hoping
defamation.
Truth is a defense, folks. If you learn anything from this law show, truth is a defense. I was honest tonight.
There you go.
Thanks for being with us. Join us next week. We're going to have a great show, and the guest will come on the show.